Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm your host, MG. This is the show where we talk about everything, you know, lately at least, that's video game or internet or nerd related. And I'm going to start that by telling you, you know, about some websites that you can check out. You can check out the Experience Points website at exppoints.com. That's double tap the P. Or you can check us out online, social media, facebook.com/experiencepoints, twitter.com/exp_points, youtube.com/theexppointschannel. There's also a Google Plus, but it's a really long Google Plus thing. So what you can do is go to exppoints.com, double tap that P, go all the way to the bottom of the page and look at all the little social media icons. You can click them, you could do stuff, and it'll get you all the way to all of our social media. Like, subscribe, and watch our videos and tell us if we're doing a good job, tell us if we're doing a horrible job, but nonetheless, you know, we will thank you for it. So I'm going to start this, this episode of Experience Points with talking about what I did this past week. And I had a pretty full-featured week. It was raining in southern Louisiana for most of the past week, so it was a lot of inside time doing things. So I started my week by playing a lot of Space Engineers. If you haven't picked this game up, it's like $20 on Steam. Go ahead, pick it up. It's in development, so if you don't like in development or early access games, then maybe you won't like Space Engineers. But I, for one, absolutely love it. The development's going great on it. You know, they're always releasing a patch here and there that puts some more stuff into the game. It's essentially you, 6 degrees of freedom. You're floating around, you have a jetpack, you're a spaceman, and you can get inside ships. You can build your own ships, you can mine asteroids. You can fight other people. There's turrets, there's missiles, there's meteor showers, there's rotors, there's all this stuff. And the workshop, the Steam Workshop specifically, has been doing such a good job of allowing you to, you know, load up a starship or load up a space station or something and play in that. So if you have the time and you have the money, look up Space Engineers. That was a majority of my week, I won't lie. The other majority of my week, or the other parts of my week, were filled with Batman Arkham Origins. It's the latest in the Batman Arkham series. It's supposed to be before Batman sort of became like as big and as good as he was. I mean, he is still a really awesome crime fighter in Arkham Origins, but he that's when he first meets the Joker. I think the Black Mask is the bad guy for the majority. Installed that and am playing through that. It's not the best one, I feel. I feel like Arkham City was probably the best one, but Arkham Origins is not bad. I also started playing WoW again, and I've run into this thing called the Timeless Isles. I ding 90, and I needed more gear, so I called up my buddy Cap, and I said, Cap, because he plays WoW a lot, right? So, Cap, what should I do? How should I go about this? Do I just LFR? Do I look for a group and go in dungeon, you know, heroic dungeon? I need some gear. And he says, no, just go to the Timeless Isle. You're going to get these items, these little drops that will craft level 496 gear for you, which is crazy that you can get that high gear. Maybe it's not high now. You know, you've got like 563 gear from LFR now, or from Siege of Orgrimmar. But, yeah, you know, so I'm playing a little bit of WoW, and I'm enjoying it. For the first time in a long time, I can say I'm actually legitimately enjoying WoW. It hasn't gotten to that point where it's just the daily grind. And I think when it gets to that point, I'm probably just going to, like, turn my account off until Warlords of Draenor come out. And if that's what has to happen, then that's what has to happen, I guess. I'm not a big, I guess, tabletop role-playing in real life type of person. I'll play WoW, and I'll play Eve, and I'll play, you know, WildStar, and I'll play games that have role-playing tabletop historical influences. But myself, you know, I never really played D&D or whatever. I tried to get into some Deadlands a while back, and it never really worked. But I am giving Dark Heresy, the tabletop game that's in the Warhammer 40K universe, I am giving Dark Heresy a shot. I've actually spent the last few days trying to build a character for it, and we're going to see. Friday is the big game night, so and I'm hosting. It's at my house, so I'm not the DM or the GM. So we'll see how Dark Heresy works. More on that next week. And I concluded my week. I actually watched it earlier today. I watched the latest Game of Thrones episode. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. I'm surprised I was able to dodge all the Facebook spoilers and all the trolls out there telling me what happened. I watched it, and wow, you know, I'm not the guy that read the books. I didn't read those. There's a lot of words in them books. and no pictures. So I am really counting on HBO to do it. But I have someone I work with, a friend of mine, that says, you know, he read all the books. And he's letting me know when good things are about to happen based on the, you know, the story in the books and where HBO's series is at. So if you haven't watched the latest Game of Thrones, definitely go to HBO Go or wherever and watch the latest episode, because it's fantastic. So fantastic, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and cue up a song. This is Game of Thrones Rap by Nominic Omega and The Archetype, followed by Leaving Earth by, from the Mass Effect 3 soundtrack. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Experience Points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG. That was Lake Pontchartrain by Ludo. Before that, follow the first movement of the Odyssey by Incubus. So up now, we're going to talk about the retro game of the week. And it's not so retro. I mean, it was for PlayStation 2, but again, anything PlayStation 2 and back, I'm going to deem as retro. So, you know, I can do whatever I want. It's my show. So, you know, whatever. We're going to talk about Red Faction, developed by Volition and published by THQ. Rest in peace, THQ. So Volition and THQ released Red Faction back in 2001. And almost 13 years ago, or a little over 13 years ago, rather. So this game is pretty awesome. You take on the role, in the original Red Faction at least, you take on the role of a miner named Parker, who he goes to Mars to mine to start a new life. And there's this company, really evil company called Ultor. No one knows that they're evil yet. They spin up this really good press. Anyway, you arrive on Mars, and you're there, and you're mining, but the situation's really bad. All the miners are treated like crap, and there's this plague running around, infecting a bunch of people. Anyway, the story-wise, you know, you decide to start an uprising, and you go through, and you find a cure for the plague, and everything's happy, and everyone loves you, and whatever. This game was awesome back in the day. It featured something called geometry modification, short geomod technology, and it allowed you to destroy the environments. And back in the day, this wasn't a common thing. You couldn't just destroy pieces of the world, but in Red Faction, you could. You could get grenades or rocket launchers or something. You could shoot. They even had like a super big, like BFG-type rocket launcher. You could blow up a lot of the world. So if there was a door and it was locked, well, no big deal. You just get a rocket launcher or a grenade and you blow around the door. You literally tunnel through the rock into the adjacent, you know, the adjacent hallway or whatever. And it was awesome. It was such a good mechanic. Now, the game didn't look particularly that great. You know, it was blocky. It was very, you know, it was very 2001. I mean, what can I say? Not 2001, the movie. 2001, like, you know, in the time period. And there wasn't a lot going on then. There was a sequel, Red Faction 2, for PlayStation 2 that was released in 2002 for, you know, and then it was eventually released for the PC. But it didn't have too much to do with the original one. One of the bad guys from Red Faction 1 made a bunch of super soldiers. And that sort of, you know, you take down a dictator-ish leader in Red Faction 2. Then in 2009, they released another version, Red Faction Guerrilla, where, you know, the Earth Defense Force that saved you in Red Faction 1, more or less, has become this tyrannical government, and it was just as bad as Ultor, so the company from the first one. So you have to kind of destroy them. Now, Guerrilla had some really cool stuff going for it. You had this character who had a sledgehammer, a really big, awesome sledgehammer, and you could hit buildings, and if you knocked away enough of the environment, then the buildings would just collapse. Like, there was some mechanic to discovering what was architecturally, like, you know, sustainable. So if you knocked out a bunch of supporting columns on a building, it would just collapse. In June 4th, 2010, Red Faction Armageddon came out, and it was sort of the same thing as Guerrilla. It was 50 years after, story-wise, but Armageddon, you know, you could still destroy buildings. There were some aliens. It wasn't a big to-do. But, you know, it got pretty decent reviews, 80 to 70% and 8s and 9s and, you know, 1.7.9 from GameSpot. But that's the PC version. We won't talk about it. It is available on the PSN for PlayStations, and it's available on Steam for PC. So if you would like, go ahead and check that out, because it's a pretty cool game. We're going to go ahead and cut to some music. This is Never Surrender by Martin O'Donnell. This is off of the Halo soundtrack, Halo 3, I believe. After that, we're going to listen to Skull Crusher Mountain by Jonathan Colton. You're listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, Experience Points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm still MG. That was Reading Rainbow by The Human Tim. Before that, Threshold by Sex Bomb Om from the Scott Pilgrim versus the World soundtrack, from the movie soundtrack. So, the Reading Rainbow song I just played by The Human Tim, of course, that's not the original Reading Rainbow theme, but it is a remix. And I play that for a very special reason. LeVar Burton, some may know him as LeVar Burton, the host of Reading Rainbow. Other people may know them as Geordi, or know him as Geordi from Star Trek The Next Generation. He recently put a Kickstarter on up for a Reading Rainbow sort of reboot. Be able to bring Reading Rainbow to kids and classrooms and you know, underprivileged schools for free and, you know, subsidized costs and everything. And he put it at a paltry $1 million. And within a few days, I almost want to say within a few hours, that goal was met. In fact, as of right now, with 27 days left to go, it's almost at $3.5 million, 3.5 times what the original goal was. So good for him, good for LeVar Burton, good for Reading Rainbow. I watched it a lot as a kid, you know, with PBS. Their new goal is $5 million, and, you know, everybody will be able to get it, every child, free subscriptions for 7,500-plus classrooms, which is awesome. Reading Rainbow was a big part of my childhood growing up, so that's kind of just a little pitch towards him. We're going to go over some news, and then we're going to get back to some more music. Most notably, in my neck of the woods, you know, for me, I backed Star Citizen on Kickstarter a ways back. And, you know, a while back, I had really strong feelings towards it. I like I like Chris Roberts' goal, or his vision, rather, of Star Citizen being the new space sim. And I'm a big space sim fan. I really like Free Space 1 and 2, Descent, and games like that, Freelancer, and, you know, anyway, Starfighter, anyway, games, in general, space games. But Star Citizen really caught and grabbed and held my attention from day one I saw it. So, they released the Hangar module a while back, probably 4 or 5 months ago. They released the Hangar module, which allows players who have, paid for the early access of the game to download the hangar module, walk around, see the ship that they have in the hangar, and look at some of the extra stuff that goes along with, you know, the tier of the rewards that they purchased for the game. Recently, within the last day or two, they released an update to that. It's the dogfighting module, and I've only seen videos of people playing, but it now allows you to fight other ships in the game, and it looks beautiful. It looks fantastic. There are certain mechanics about this game that really make me think that this is the next type of game. And instead of making a game that, you know, is very directed and everything, make a game that's more like a sandbox. Make a game that the mechanics are so well thought out and reusable that it makes new gaming experiences whenever you actually play the game. So in this case, Star Citizen, you have thrusters on a ship. Whenever your thruster gets damaged, then your ship won't be able to use that specific thruster. So it has to compensate. And sometimes it can compensate, you know, very well, depending on the thruster that's hit or the number of thrusters that are on the ship. Sometimes you all of a sudden lose, you know, you lose thruster or thrust on your, you know, on your starboard side. You can't roll as well, and that has to compensate. Now maybe you're spinning out of control and you have to turn certain thrusters off, and that's the type of gameplay that I'm looking forward to. It's so cool that could be the new future of games, the new way that we build games in the future and that we experience that type of content. So I'm very excited for the dogfighting module and for Star Citizen in general. My internet's slow at my house, so maybe in a week I'll be able to play some dogfighting from Star Citizen. Up next, Batman Arkham Knight, which is the next the most recent and the next version of our game iteration of the Batman Arkham series. The first version from Rocksteady Studios since the initial Batman Arkham Asylum game was released. Batman Arkham Knight is now pushed back. It's delayed until 2015. Again, good games take a long time to make, but it is looking fantastic. If you haven't looked at the game or seen the outfits or seen the Batmobile, take a look at that. I'll post some links in the show notes. Also, along with that, unfortunately, The Witcher 3, which if you haven't played The Witcher 1 or Witcher 2, they're available on Steam. Witcher 3, which has always been looking great from CD Projekt, KT, not CT, but from CD Projekt, has also been delayed until 2013. And I believe it's February 2013, so it's early next year, but it's still, you know, it's still almost a year away. So that's unfortunate, but I hope that we at least see a little bit from this E3, which is in a week. I won't be covering any E3 talk this time, other than that it's next week. But next week we'll be right in the middle of E3. I'll have a ton of stuff to talk about. So next week it will be the E3 episode. And if I can, I'm going to go ahead and get a co-host on, and we're going to talk about some of the great things that's happening. But Batman Arkham Knight and Witcher 3, unfortunately delayed until 2015. So maybe it won't be too long. Maybe it'll go by fast. Maybe, you know, it'll be fine. Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll say, nope, it's actually holiday season. You know, Batman Arkham Knight and Witcher 3, you can buy them now. Spend all your monies. So if they do that, I'm probably going to do that. But we're going to cut to this next song. It's kind of a sad this next story. It's kind of a sad story because someone got hurt over this. But if you haven't heard by now, in Wisconsin over the weekend, these two 12-year-old girls, they like are facing attempted murder charges for attacking one of their classmates, which is really, really crazy. Normally, you know, kids go crazy all the time, and it's not okay or whatever, but, you know, people go crazy. People do crazy things. That's the world we live in. But when you hear why they attacked this girl, it's really, really messed up. If you haven't been on the internet lately, as in, like, the last few years, there's been this horror myth going around the internet about Slender Man. It's from Creepypasta. It's this, you know, just this made up, you know, urban legend type of thing about this guy who could, he never says anything. He doesn't have a face. He has these really long limbs and he can make tentacles come out of his back and out of his hands and fingers. He's just really, you know, really creepy. But everyone sort of knows that this is made up, like people don't really exist like that unless you're one of those wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men from Family Guy. And, you know, but anyway, these two 12-year-old girls, they invited a friend over during a sleepover, and then while they were at a park, they stabbed her 19 times and then left her for dead. And the friend survived. She was able to make it, I don't know if it's a she or he, but the friend was able to make it to a road and, like, collapse and then was discovered and then rushed to the hospital and stuff. But it's crazy. One of the girls said to the police that Slender Man was the leader of Creepypasta, which is a website. But, you know, in order to show him that they were worthy, they were going to act as quote-unquote proxies of the Slender Man. And the way to do that, to show that they were worthy of Slender Man, was to kill their friend because they thought Slender Man had threatened to kill their families if they didn't commit this murder. That is insane. I don't even understand. Like, my brain can't comprehend how that is something that actually happened. Like, that is so insane to me. But you know, no matter what you say, you'll go, kids are kids, nothing like that. No, I'm sorry. I don't have any kids, but if I did, I bet that I would do a very good job of not letting them near the internet, or at least that part of the internet, because that's just weird. I don't understand that. Anyway, these two girls are being tried as adults due to, you know, how bad the crime was. And if they were tried as, like, juveniles, so not as adults, they would be released at 25. So, like, they get imprisoned, and they're in prison until 25, and then they're just free for almost murdering someone. When they're tried as an adult, then the penalty is up to 65 years in prison, which is much more fitting. And, you know, it's hard to think about it, 12-year-olds. Like, I know some really young people, and they're older than 12, and I can't imagine them going to prison for that long or even doing something to make that a reality. But when you stab someone 19 times and then you give a crazy excuse, I don't know. I don't even know how to think about that. So that's some crazy news. We're going to get off of that. We're going to cut to a song. This is The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons, followed by The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by The Megas. You're listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, Experience Points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm G. I am on my way out. Before I do, I'm going to tell you, you just heard Tutorial Lab Remix by George and Jonathan. Pretty awesome stuff. Before I head out, let me go ahead and hit the websites one more time. exppoints.com, double tap that P, or you can look us up on social media, facebook.com/experiencepoints, twitter.com/exp_points, youtube.com/theexppoints channel, and we also have a Google Plus, but it's really long. Again, just go to exppoints.com, remember to double tap that P, scroll all the way to the bottom of that page, and look at all the social media icons that we have. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're doing a bunch of crazy stuff, we're expanding the platform, so we have more stuff coming. Just stand by, just wait for that. But, you know, I know you can't wait to get to the next song, so I'll go ahead and I'll throw that out there. We're going to go ahead and do First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. Stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be doing the E3 show, and I'm going to have a lot of mid-E3 kind of suggestions and everything, and we'll talk about a lot of stuff. I'll try to get a co-host. It'll be awesome. So catch us back next week on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU from 9 to 10 p.m. next Wednesday. I'm going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be awesome. Until then, enjoy First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. You've been listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points.